post. Get there first.
Welcome to the Near Post. My name is Eamon Flanagan, and with me, as always, are our other hosts. Arif, how are you?
How you doing, Eamon?
And Nicole. Nicole, what have you been up to football-wise this week?
Football-wise this week, I was down at the Summer Six-A-Side competition for the women on Sunday, which was a good little event there. They had a barbecue going and a lot of people down there, so, yeah.
Yeah, I hear that it's been really popular. The numbers have increased.
Definitely. They've got 50 teams this year, which is a record. 160 new players for the competition, which is great for the women's game.
That is incredible. I mean, we'll hear later on from Tommy Simoni, but the women's game is absolutely booming across Australia. It's good to see. And Arif, how's your football week been?
You know, I'm the armchair analyst, Eamon.
So we know you're the armchair.
So we spend a lot of time in the armchair.
A lot of time in the armchair doing a lot of analysing.
But I do believe you've been doing a little bit of running around on the oval. Is that right?
We do. Up at Treasury, there's a competition, which you just rock up at lunchtimes on Tuesdays, Thursdays.
So and despite the obvious skills of Treasury counting numbers, I believe you have more than 11 aside. You're not able to count.
Well, you know how it is. Sometimes we just make numbers up sometimes.
Is that the case?
Yeah, good to see. The economy is safe in Arif's hands. Okay, coming up on the show this week, what have we got? We've got we'll have details of our 442 competition. You can SMS us on 0432 250 759. That's 0432 250 759. SMS us on anything you like, but the big question we're asking this week is John Cosmina the Messiah? Tell us what you think. We've got Arif's big issue in a moment, and we'll also be talking to... we'll have our A-League round wrap of the weekend and our predictions, as always. We'll also... we've got a bit of Matilda's focus this week. We're delighted to have Lydia Williams, the Matilda's and Young Matilda's goalkeeper and captain of the Young Matilda's here in the studio. And we'll also have a chat with Tom Simoni, an interview I recorded earlier in the week. So we've got a big women's football focus, I'm glad to say, and also we'll get all the news from Capital Football later on in the show. Okay, what is...
Hi, I'm Keely from Lightning's Under 10.
Hi, I'm Tara from the Pixies Under 8s.
Hi, I'm Eilish, and I'm also from the Under 8 Pixies.
You're listening to The Near Post
on 2XX
Community Radio.
Get there first!
Okay, I thought we'd run a little competition. This is called the Michael Bridges competition. Michael Bridges, of course, played his first game for Nicole, why are you laughing?
I'm devastated.
You're not going to like this competition.
I'm not going to like it at all.
Michael Bridges played on the weekend for Sydney FC, his first game, and he comes from the north of England. Now, this is a fair competition because although I'm from England...
The north of England, yes.
No, I'm from the Midlands of England, and there's about...
You're from Ireland.
Well, my name's Irish, but I'm from England. Don't confuse me, never mind. but Michael Bridges comes from at least 10 miles away from me, so I think it's a fair competition. Accents are very different when you're 10 miles away in England, and you guys are 12,000 miles away here in Australia, so it will be fair. Now, Michael Bridges is here speaking about his game for Sydney on the weekend, and I thought, when we reply to that, you just got to reply the North of England accent, okay? I'm actually the judge of who wins the competition as well. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, I loved it, especially the result of beating top of the league. The boys first half, I thought the performance was unbelievable. I was well impressed, and like you say, I think Bosky scores a penalty. It could have been 6 or 7 in the end, but we held on, we got the result, and it was different class.
Right, lad, Arif, what do you got to say about that then, lad?
I couldn't actually hear it, but Jesus.
But that's not a problem, because we can actually repeat. In fact, I've got another little bit of comment that he comes up with. So just train your ear in for this one. Nicole, I'll give you the opportunity to respond.
I knew the standard was high from speaking to people and watching a few of the games, but I think first half, we've shown that we can beat anybody in that performance. I was mightily impressed. I think it was just good the way Bimby, Bosky, myself and Jin interlinked, and then the defence were fantastic as well.
So, Nicole, what did you think about Michael Bridges then?
I think that was amazing.
Nicole, I think you just stole the commentary. Are you going to come in with a late entry?
Was he even talking English?
You guys are better than me. I can't compete. Well, I think, I'm going to declare joint winners, Arif and Nicole doing Michael Bridges. That was absolutely amazing, as Nicole said. And was he even talking English? Well, do we ever talk English anyway? So fantastic. Well done, guys. I'm very impressed. don't give up your day jobs. But you've won the comp. How do you feel? Anything else to add?
Wonderful.
Well, no. Okay, I think we've done the Michael Bridges bit. All right, I like the bit where he actually said, we could have won by 6 or 7, but we managed to hold on. I think marvelous, Michael. But it did make a big difference, and we'll have a little bit of chat about Michael in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Lydia Williams from the Matildas. You're listening to the 2XX 98.3 FM Community Radio. If you go into the near post, get there first.
And that was especially for Lydia, who is just sitting outside waiting to come in.
I think that was a pretty good Michael Bridges accent just there, actually.
Oh, another late entry for the Michael Bridges accent. Good one, Nicole, yeah? Okay. All right, we have Arif's big issue. Arif, the big issue this week, obviously, is John Cosmina taking over at Sydney FC, and they're calling him the Messiah. Is John Cosmina the Messiah? What do you think?
I think it's a bit early to be talking about messiahs, Eamon. Now, don't get me wrong, because I think John Cosmina is a pretty good coach. His record for Adelaide United, notwithstanding, of course, the 6-0 drubbing in the final last year, is pretty impressive, but I just don't know if we should be calling him the Messiah figure. To me, Sydney have a lot more problems than just a new coach.
Why do you say that?
Well, if you look through the squad that Sydney have,
yep,
there's a lot of old players in there. There's a lot of players coming to the ends of their careers. But the other problem is that they just don't have the depth that a lot of the other teams do.
Well, it certainly was a great win for them on the weekend.
It was a great win, and I thought it was a very good game as well. But really, did John have much to do with that win?
I think it's an absolute joke. He's come in, he's had one game there, he was playing against an understrength Central Coast, and they had a 3-2 win.
Understrength with John Aloisi.
The Mariners have only let 5 goals in the first 9 games. They let 3 in on the weekend, which suggests Sydney did something right.
They did. They played well, is what they did. And I guess my point is, John Cosmina wasn't even on the side. He was up in his stand, having his break, having his
cup of coffee.
But
I think the thing I like about Cozzy is he frightens people, I think. He sets a tone. You don't want to come off that pitch and have not performed for him, do you? I mean, Branko Colino did a good job in the Asian Champions League. But I don't know, there's something about Cozzy that you think, I reckon players are going to try that a bit harder for him.
Just the intimidation factor.
Have you ever played for a coach like that, Nicole?
A couple of times, whether it's intimidation because you're fearing for your life, I don't know, but intimidation because you're worried that they're going to be very angry with you or disappointed in you, yeah, definitely.
And does it make you play better, or?
I don't know if it makes you play better. I think it makes you want to play better, but whether it actually makes you play better, I don't know. It may actually be a bad thing.
And certainly the old men of, I agree it could be a bad thing, particularly long term, but certainly the old men of Sydney, they put it on for 30 minutes.
They put on for 30 minutes, but You can have the scariest coach in the world, Eamon, but if you don't have any left-sided players, you're not going to have much on the left side.
No, that's true. Although they've got a young guy called Nick Sotalius, 17-year-old. He's left-sided, so, they may be going to give him a bit of a run, which would be good to see another young player coming through.
Yep, absolutely. The other thing that I like about John, I've been slagging him off.
You do like
the last couple of minutes, but yeah. I like about him is that he will bring the fans in. just his style of play. He'll be in the head. He'll be, you know, making the papers.
He's a human headliner, as they say.
That's what they say.
And that's good for the game. We need that in Australia.
We do need it. So, you know, I think if he's not a messiah, at least he'll be good for Sydney. Can you imagine the Sydney versus Melbourne games, you know? There's already a bit of niggle between Sydney and Melbourne.
It's going to be fantastic. It's not this weekend, it's the following weekend.
Following weekend.
Down in Melbourne.
Yeah, Cozzy and...
Musket.
And Musket, take two.
That should bring in a few fans, shouldn't it? So that would be fantastic. Okay,
One other thing I just wanted to say is that the other thing, you know, is Sydney going to make the finals? They don't have many home games left, so a lot of their next 12 games, I think.
Wouldn't that mean that they're going to win? I haven't won at home in a while.
No, that's right. I think you're right, Nicole. I think it actually suits them to play away from home because they've got some players like Juninho and Brosk who can play quick on the break. And they are strong in defence with Rudin and Milligan, and Popovic seemed to be improved, or he had an improved game. So, yeah, I think...
And Michael Bridges as well.
Now, Michael Bridges made a massive difference, I think that's possibly the reason that, you know, Brosk is a much better second forward rather than leading the line. And Bridges was outstanding, I thought.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
And that gives the whole team a bit of shape, and it gives the little guys like Juninho and Brosk, you know, something to play off. So
His movement up front was fantastic. He just made the space.
Yeah, so maybe Cozzy, he got lucky that Bridges signed the day before Cozzy signed, but, you know.
He did.
Was a buzz around the ground on the weekend, I thought.
There was, yep.
Okay, absolutely. All right, we'll see how, no doubt, whether Cozzy is the messiah. Maybe next week when he loses to Newcastle, then that'll be the end of that.
But at least one of us will be right.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Nicole, have you got any details on the, or any entries on the 4-4-2 competition?
We have two entries, one from Kai Thornton, who's 9 years old, and his entry was, "I love football because you can be tricky and skillful. Go football." And one from Eilish Fit, "I love football because there are so many tricks and skills you can learn. It's also great fun, even just having some kicks. Football is cool."
Okay, so what do people have to do to enter that competition?
All you have to do to win a year's free subscription to Australia's number one football magazine, 4-4-2, all you have to do is tell us why you love football in 25 words or less. Email your entry to nearpost2xx@gmail.com. The closing date is the 30th of November. And the winner will be announced by Fox Sports' Simon Hill at our launch on the 4th of December.
Fantastic. Okay, and you can still SMS us on 0432 250759. Is Cozzy the Messiah? And also, if you listen to this show and you missed it, does that make sense? Or if you miss any of our shows, you can get it on the podcast on the nearpost.blogspot.com. The podcast will be available tomorrow. Okay, coming up next, we've got A-League Talk. We've still got Lydia Williams will be our guest in the studio, and we'll also have an interview with Tom Simoni. I think we've actually got a bit of music before we talk to Lydia. And this song is especially for Lydia. Now, some people have criticised me. I find that hard to believe.
People being me, or...?
Some people being you, Nicole, because I have this song that it's particularly for Lydia Williams to welcome her to the studio, and it's sort of, when I got it out of its little packet, Nicole said to me, "What's that got to do with Matildas or words that affect?" Now, everybody knows I'm a Glasgow Celtic fan, and if you don't, you will do if you listen to this show for much longer, because I keep mentioning them every week.
And at least once.
At least once, if not more. And this song is especially for Lydia to take her back to China. So, Lydia, enjoy.
"We only know that there's going to be a show, and the Glasgow Celtic will be there. And the Glasgow Celtic will be there."
And that was, of course, the Celtic song from Celtic Songs for Celtic by somebody called Glenn Daly. Thank you, Glenn. Lydia Williams is with us in the studio today. She is the Matildas keeper and also the young Matildas, captain of the young Matildas, and she's just spent 2 months in China. But Lydia, welcome to you, and What is the significance of that song, and what relationship has the greatest club song in the world, Glasgow Celtic song, the Celtic song, have to do with the Matildas?
As far as the greatest team, I think Colette would be the only person who agrees with you.
Colette McCullum. What about your coach, Tommy?
Yeah, Tom, them two.
He's important.
Oh, sort of.
So what is the relationship between the Celtic song and the greatest women's team in Australia?
That's pretty much our victory song for every time we win, so...
So you've just informed Nicole there of the significance. I was delighted to be able to play the Celtic song for you, Lydia. Really pleased. And also there's an SBS crew followed you around, is that right?
Yeah, we had our SBS crew that was doing a sort of autobiography or like a TV documentary about our team. And it all started from, I think, the North Korea games that we had in Coffs. And it ended at the World Cup, obviously.
Yeah, and I believe they went to, you know, some of the players' homes and all sorts of places and followed you around China, and the show should come out sometime next year.
Yep.
Okay, so, Lydia, a fantastic experience for you. I spoke to you before you went to the World Cup, and you talked about being in the Bruisers group. with
What exactly is the Bruisers group?
The Bruisers group, Lydia.
I think it's sort of the most sort of physically demanding team, like in the whole tournament. Like we had Canada and... Norway, which are both just sort of direct, brutal players that, you know, they just sort of try and hack you here and there. And
so you get bruised in the Bruiser group.
That's right.
Pretty much.
But we came through the Bruisers group.
Yes.
And although, you know, you nearly got on one of the games, I saw you warming up there on the TV camera, but a tremendous experience for you with the former Matildas side. How did you, you know, looking back on it, what did you feel about it?
You know, it was great. Like, it was my first World Cup, Senior World Cup, and, you know, I didn't mind if I didn't get on, but the whole experience was really good.
Okay, and during the games, like, you know, what was the sort of main or the key moment for you watching on the team?
I just think it was probably either, like, at the end of the games when, you know, it was a tough time, like, especially the Canada game, that was pretty intense.
Certainly was, and the last few moments there was pretty exciting, wasn't it? I mean, the Matildas did it tough, didn't they? They won all the games or drew the games, scored the goals late on.
Yeah, I guess that made us probably one of the most exciting teams to watch.
Yeah, I think it certainly did. And I guess we've got an interview with Tom Simoni later, so he'll talk a little bit more about the Matildas. But for you, and as captain of the young Matildas, now how did that tournament go for you guys?
That didn't turn out too good.
No, you lost. Okay, so just to let people know, lost to Japan 1-0 in the first game.
Yep.
And then the big game.
Yeah.
Against
North Korea.
Okay. Very controversial.
It was 2-1.
Very controversial, yeah. And the final game against Myanmar.
2-1, I think.
2-1, you won that one. Yeah, okay, so you lost to North Korea. What was the... and there was a big blow-up in that game.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what went on?
Well, basically, there was a tackle inside the box with one of our players and one of the North Korean players, which I guess if you were playing in an Asian country, you would have expected it to be a penalty. So I got the ball and picked it up and ran to the ref to sort of discuss with her that it wasn't a penalty. And
discuss?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
or maybe yell or wave my arms. And then, yeah, she just said play on. But by that time, all the North Koreans came over and sort of was talking with the refs, and all our girls came over to make sure there wasn't a fight, or if there was a fight that they're involved with it. And
it was 11 girls, Australian girls, 11 North Korean girls about to have an argy-bargy.
Sort of, that's what it looked like. And then the ref was in the middle.
And the young Matildas games don't get any television coverage.
That,
what's
that
going
make
on?
Any sense.
No.
I don't get it.
But it was a pretty crucial point in the tournament because we needed to win or
draw
that game, didn't we? So it was 1-1 and then this decision.
Yeah, and then when that was happening, the North Korean, one of the coaches, ran onto the field and started going towards the lady on the sideline.
Yeah.
And so the ref had to go over to him, and he had his hands up and fists out ready to punch her, and so the North Korean players had to hold him back from punching the ref, and basically this was about 10 minutes of just, like, him going off at her and us all crowding around, sort of wondering what to do, and then basically she just comes back and says, penalty, and we're all asking her why, and she just said, because he saw it, so Yeah, not a good way to end.
Not a good way.
That doesn't make sense. So she called play on, and then the assistant coach runs on and yells at the referee, and then she awards a penalty.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but that's what happened.
And, I mean, the AFC have taken no action against the North Korean coach or assistant coach who came on, which is, I mean, that's an amazing decision, isn't it? That
You know, of course that's going to happen, but at the same time, it's not going to do anything. All he's going to do is just get another name and he'll be coaching back in a year.
Yeah, yeah. So, and as the captain of the side, Lydia, how did the, you know, looking back on that tournament, obviously we didn't qualify for the World Cup. What are your thoughts there?
Obviously, that's really disappointing, but, and, you know, a lot of the games that we have played over there was a bit disappointing, and, you know, all the girls took it really hard. But the good thing that come out of it is that we have actually quite a lot of girls that, you know, are coming through the ranks, and, like, most of them probably future Matildas, so that's pretty promising.
No, that is really encouraging. Who are some of the players that we, you know, the listeners should look out for if you were to pick apart from yourself, would you?
I can't do that.
Can you not? Okay.
Now, Lydia, I have a question. We made the quarters, and we played against Brazil.
Yep.
Yes, we did. In the World Cup. Yep.
Yes, I was watching.
Yep.
So you would have seen Marta Foerster firsthand.
Yeah.
How good is she? And do we have any Martas coming through the ranks?
I think Marta that's sort of there and established is Lisa Devana. She made quite a name for herself over there, so I think she's Marta, I guess. But, you know, it's one thing to have a look at them, like, you know, as you walk past in the hotel, and then it's another thing to actually watch them on the field. They're much more intimidating when you watch them play. So,
is she really that good?
Yeah.
She is.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know.